All right. Well, I mean, gosh, a lot of new faces here. You go away for a couple of months and come back, and you got that twice as many folks coming to hear the word of the Lord. It is a good thing. I got a Bible here somewhere. Once I get my Bible, I'll be better off, I think. The Spirit of God usually, I mean, depending upon where I am, is usually sufficient to get something out of my mouth, even though a lot of the time I'm not getting it so right. You know what I mean? But the Lord is able,
amen,
you know, to get these things right. And I was thinking about, we got together last night. We have a lot of fun when we get together here in South Carolina. Brad,
yep.
Jeff, Phil, and Paul, of course, who I've known the longest. And we always end up having a great time, and it's always ends up being about something about the Word of God.
Amen.
You know, we're fooling around like guys do, but at the end of the day, for each of us, I think individually, the focus is Jesus and loving one another and that fellowship that cannot be experienced in any other way but as a part of the body of Christ.
Amen.
And I had a couple of scriptures come up last night that I thought were good. We were talking about stuff, and one of the things that came up was some of us used to do a lot of drugs for fun and entertainment. You know what I mean? And we talked about this a little bit last night. The idea that the drugs themselves, the things here in the world, all the natural things in the world, can't by themselves hurt you. But the thing about it is, over here in Titus, it says in Titus chapter 1, verse 15, it says, unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. So the very inner nature, our core, when we're born into this world, is born into that state of corruption and wickedness. And as we grow up in the world, we kind of paper that over. You know what I mean? Our parents teach us how to be good little boys and girls, whatever good in that particular time might mean.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because from age to age, the definition of good in the world changes. You have moral codes that change. I mean, I do a little radio show in the afternoon on Sunday that some people know about. I study history. Before I was a Christian, history was pretty confusing to me, even though I knew a lot about it. When I came to know the Lord quickened to me, opened up to me how His role in history completes that picture. It's His story. And He being central to the whole program here, all right, His goodness, His righteousness, His perfection is unalterable and unchangeable from
His
Genesis.
Salvation.
And that is His salvation. That's right. From the beginning to the end, and it's His salvation that we partake in. It's His salt,
amen,
that we throw out into the corruption to push it back so that it has no power over our lives as believers. We do this with success and sometimes not so well. But that's what this walk is for. Under grace, we have time to learn His ways. But to begin with, we got to figure out, we have to accept that the ways that we've been taught from the beginning of our first dawn breath to the time that we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior were wrong. We got to be willing to accept that we, in the entire way that we thought and perceived things, was twisted and wrong. That's what sin is all about in us. It twists us and makes us wrong. And the most wicked thing about it is it persuades us in pride that we're right.
Yep.
We look at somebody else and we say, hey, you know, I ain't got this guy's problem. I'm looking a lot better than he is. You know what I mean? The guy that's groveling in the ditch, I mean, of course, is not near as fouled up as the guy who's walking along looking at him, right? But in God's eyes, that's not what's going on.
Amen.
And to come to the place where we can receive His goodness, His salvation, His mercy, His power, we got to come to the place first where we recognize that what we had before all that was good for nothing.
Right.
And that's a tough thing. It's a tough decision to make within your own self, because it's all about stuff we really liked. It's not stuff like the fun stuff, like the drugs or the other things that entertained us. It's stuff like how good I am at something.
Yeah.
How successful I am.
You can
right. How much I excel at a certain thing. How much better I am than someone else at doing a certain thing. All of this gives us a reason to look down on everybody else, and that position of pride cannot receive any good thing from God. So to get to that place, and the Lord is merciful to us, He puts us in positions and through situations, the hard way or the easy way, that we can learn this basic truth, that it isn't about what we think is good. That isn't going to cut it. It's about what He thinks is good.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thanks for having me. Always a blessing to be here in fellowship in South Carolina. I mean, I listen every week. We're always part of the service, but we rarely and are grateful for a chance to come up and be together and fellowship in the natural as well. So, praise the Lord. Thanks, Philip.
Thanks, Paul.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We got a full house. And you know, it was such a blessing to hang out last night. You know, Scotty comes down Thursday and I'm having to work Friday and Saturday. I'm just like, you know, every day I'm going, all right, Saturday night's coming around. Saturday, you know, get through it. Go to bed early, get rested. We're gonna hang out Saturday night. And it was a blessing.
Yeah.
It was a blessing. You just being here has it was a fun fellowship last night, and I enjoyed it. There's nothing like fellowshipping in the Lord, in the body. There's nothing like it. It's so awesome. And we can't have that fellowship, guys. You're not going to have that same type of fellowship outside of the Lord. If the Lord's not in it, it's not going to be the same kind of fellowshipping. It's just not. We spent years fellowshipping with one another in all kinds of manners that were unprofitable and led us in not so down some good paths. And that's the way we used to be. But praise the Lord, He's been good to us. You were talking about there, Scotty, is that coming to that place where there in you there's nothing good. And that you're wrong. And He's right. But He's good, and He loves you, and He died for you. You know, you're talking about being high-minded and those things where you have, you know, I'm good at something for you to be boastful of. You know what? All those talents, all those things you have, they came from the Lord. They were created by the Lord.
Amen.
People being able to build these structures, all that came from the Lord in the beginning of ages. There's nothing for us to boast about. Nothing. You know, when I take a look at my life, and there is nothing to boast about in the way I did things. I wasn't successful at anything. Praise God I wasn't. I don't know if I would be here if I was. You had to look at sports. Never best at any of that. Look at success in school. Never the best at any of that. Look at success in the world and jobs and succeeding. Not any good at that. I was good at losing the jobs. Let me tell you. Couldn't stay away from drugs. Couldn't stay away from women. I could not function properly in the world like other people could. And that was the biggest.
Not of it, you didn't know it.
I was in the world, not of it, and didn't know it yet.
Yes.
Well, praise and ask the Lord's grace.
Amen.
I was 17 years old, guys, and somebody presented me the gospel and said, he said, do you want to, I seen my stepfather get healed in front of my face. Right in front of my face. And I just came off a big all-night party night, let me tell you. And I went over to this guy's place, and it was the most safest place I've ever been at. And I slept on the couch, and I ate some good food. And I wake up, and this guy prays for my stepdad, and I see him healed right in front of my face. And he turns to me and goes, that was the power of Jesus Christ. Do you want to accept the Lord? And I just moved back in with Paul. And I'm thinking to myself, not really, but I better go through this because I want a place to live. But I'm not going to say that. Yes, sure I do. So take my hand. Pray with me. And we prayed. I repeated the words that he prayed. I was 17 years old and I was already heading down a path of death, I'm telling you. I mean, shooting smack at 17. I mean, I was already going for it. I was like going for it. The world sucked. I hated it. Might as well get out of this sucker as soon as I can. But feeling as good as I can on the way, which really didn't feel too terrible. Just some really terrible times that happened. Some very scary times that happened. But I was 17 years old. And it was like the hand of the Lord was on me. And anything I tried to do outside of Him and His will, I ended up right in this smack in the same boat. Junk in my arms. Kissing death. In terrible situations. But the Lord was gracious enough. There were some very close times. And the Lord was gracious enough just to keep me. To keep me through all that. It was 10 years of me being like a freaking yo-yo. Back and forth, back and forth. And yet He had grace on me. And I thank God that I wasn't successful out there in that world. Because I don't know if I would ever took Jesus seriously in what He's done for me. And I take a look at what the Lord's done, and my family can testify to the way I used to be. My old friends, the people I work with now knew me. They hired me when I was 18 years old, and I was back and forth with them for so long. I'd last 4 months. At least we got a guy for 4 months, but you don't expect him to be around that long. And they were right. But they knew me. They knew how I was and how I am. I'm still this sinful, poophead, jerk-faced son of a gun. I'm a miserable piece of garbage. But the Lord is good. And what He took me, and He's seen the success that He has done in my life. Not me. What He has done in my life is miraculous. And it's a testimony of just how good He is. I'm blessed with a family. You look at me back at 25 years old and say, Philip's getting married. Somebody stop this. This is a train wreck. Stop this now. Philip's going to be a father. Hold the brakes. We got to constrain him. Lock him up. A medical intervention. Something. That is the... No. Phillip's working in a tire shop managing people. What is wrong with the business owners? But praise God, He's the one that got me through all this. And He gets the glory for what He's done. And I'm only successful in Him and what He has done for me. And that's it. That love and that forgiveness that He shed His blood for me And he didn't just do it for me. He did it for every single one of you out here. And for, what does it say? For the sin of the whole world. For the sin of the whole world. You know, and I want to go to Peter a little bit. Oh, if I can find it. 1 Peter. 1 Peter 5. And it talks about the elders which are among you. I'll just start at one. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Before you can get off, go. He's commanded us to love one another here. But before we can get off, go, it's humbling ourselves in the sight of the Lord and knowing how much you need Him. And as Scotty was saying, everything that you learned is wrong. And I've been wrong in so many cases. And just realizing how much you need that grace. That's clothing yourself in humility. And saying, Lord, I need you. I can't do anything without you. Before we can learn to love God and love one another, it starts with right here. The Lord created in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Because my heart is corrupt. I don't know how to love you. I don't know how to love my brother. And I can't do this without you. And you let God sort these things out in your heart. Saying, we love Jesus. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. We love the Savior part, folks. But when we're confronted with the Lord part, we have a hard time a lot of times. But He's good. He's patient with us. And He brings these things up. He's doing a work in all of us. Because there's so much garbage that we've learned in our hearts. And as this stuff comes to a head, He'll show it to you. When you pray that, pray, Lord, create in me a clean heart. I don't know how to love you. I don't know how to love one another. He's going to show you areas in your life that if you want more of Him in you, because you can't do anything but by Him. You can't love but by His love that He's given you. And if you want that love, you're going to be confronted with these things as they come out in you. There's going to be issues that become before you and the Lord, between you and the Lord, and the Lord's going to evidently show them to you. And you're going to become through crossroads and crossroads. That's why we have tribulation. We've talked about in James before. The reason why we have tribulation, it's not because of God or the devil or any of these things. A lot of times it's our own lust. It's what's in it within us. And that's why we need His grace. But as He shows you these things, you are given a choice. And every day is a choice to live for Him. And we can give it, and as this stuff comes up, you can give a choice to, well, that feels really good. Lord, I don't want to let that go. Or that hurts. I don't like to see that. But you have a choice to see that, and you can give it to Him. You can give it to Him. He will do work in your heart. I promise.
Amen.
I promise you can trust Him with everything you got. What did you say? Fellowship might not feel good?
I said, I can promise you it might not feel good.
Paul says he can promise you it might not feel good. But the Lord didn't come to save your flesh. This flesh wants to drag you to hell. He came to save your soul. And He's made a way for you. Go to 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Humble yourself, that He may exalt you in due time. And that time of tribulation hitting you, that storm hitting you, you have nowhere else to turn but the Lord. You will pass through that if you humble yourself in front of the Lord. And you put your eyes on Him and want to serve Him. And you put all your trust on Him. He will get you through it. I guarantee it. Because He's already done the work on the cross.
Amen.
Hey, what does He say? He goes, in this world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The work is done. And all we have to do is make that choice to walk it out in victory. And He will shed the crap off you that you don't need so you can better serve Him. This is what I wanted to get to right here, folks. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. He careth for you. And that is all you... I want you to just take this in perspective. All you people that have kids and that love your kids. I love my girls so much. And I know that you, the people that have kids, I know y'all know what that's like. And I'm evil. And yet I want the best thing for them. And I want to do whatever it takes so they can succeed in the Lord. But we have a Father in heaven that is perfect. And filled with love. Which says God is love. That He shed His Son on the cross for you. He loves you. And He's made a way for you. To have eternal life with Him in love for eternity. He wants to have a relationship with you. He has prepared a place for us up there. And He wants you to be there with Him. But you have free will. And you can choose. Do you want to serve the God who created heaven and earth that has a place for you in heaven? That loved you, that He died for you? That overcame the second death so that you don't have to suffer it? Or do we want to go to hell and choose the enemy and go to hell with the devil and his angels? It's up to us. He can't make you make the decision. You have free will.
That's right.
But it says right here, He careth for you. So what we should be saying when the Lord part comes in and saying, heck yes, Lord, whatever You would have me do. Because You're good and You love me beyond I can even imagine, beyond I can even conceive. You love me that much and You're good. And He's shown that to us on the cross. Yeah. With that, I'm going to... Give it to you, Paul.
You know, I got to do what? Okay, I will speak up.
Good job.
You know, the Lord's good, and the whole thing that is going through my mind. Somebody find me Jude. You know, we're born into ignorance and educated into we're taught, thank you, we're taught, I need that.
Okay.
We're taught presumption, and we're taught, mine's blanking on the word. We're taught superstitions, and the ways of wisdom and man. We're taught lies and hypocrisy, and you know, Jesus in John 8, he's talking to this crowd, and through the first 28 or so verses, down to 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. John 8:30. Now, Jesus didn't sit there and say, okay, this is a good thing. He proceeds to thin out the crowd. Because, you know, when we think there's something in it for us, you know, we'll latch on to almost anybody that has a good pitch. Doesn't mean we trust them and believe them. We're looking to enrich ourselves, right? Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Now, he's saying that with the Roman soldiers standing around. And the Romans weren't the first to hold them in bondage. They were, third or fourth down the line? Been in bondage over and over again. But they were proud. And they were God's chosen people. And that was a foolish pride that kept them from ever exploring the heart of God. And this exchange gets really ugly. I recommend you read it. But, you know, that's the kind of thing that flares up in all of us. At the idea that we need a Savior. We need somebody to save us from the lies and hypocrisies and superstitions we've been taught. We've been taught only to receive that which you can weigh and measure. Just believe half of what you see, none of what you hear, and all this kind of stuff.
Yep.
Romans says, for all that stuff, you are out without excuse. You got all the truth you need to know. You can learn God's ways. You can learn how to operate in them. All you got to do is understand, first off, the basic fundamental truth that we are born into bondage We're taught to be proud of our ignorance and taught stuff that will not deliver us into freedom. And then you have the world out here and most of the church walking around in pride of their ignorance. Well, I'm no theologian, but... And we walk around with it. Okay, I can do this thing that I want to do, and then I'll do this thing that I think will please God. And we walk around with that kind of balance. And James calls that double-mindedness. And Jesus calls that double-mindedness. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve the spirit and the flesh. You can't follow both of them. The end of that is a tank. And it's not a good one. So the next thing you have to agree with God on in 1 Corinthians, Paul says, not many wise, not many noble are called. And who I see coming to the Lord are people who have so broken down their ways in gone down into the pit and said, anything, Lord, anything. And they hear the gospel and they receive it and it sets them free.
Amen.
Amen.
That's one. That's one. That's one. That's one. That's one. That may be two. That one. That's one. I know these people. And I can look amongst us. And I see not many wise and not many noble. Why is it that the only place we become open to the gospel is in the absolute pits of depravity and there's nothing else? Pride and arrogance have to be beaten down. That pride and the arrogance, the Pharisees were good about public piety while they did whatever the hell they wanted in private. There's a bunch of the church out there today that has the same structure set up. Public piety, while you do what you want to do. You'll never learn the Lord's ways that way. And, let's see. Let's go to Philippians. Man, I wish I had brought something to drink up here. No. Chapter 2. Now, this is a trifle bit out of context, but it's not a wrong... Yeah, I could suggest you read the entire first chapter because that's where this takes from. If there be... Therefore, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill me my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. This is the mind of Christ. This is how the body functions. They speak the same word. They speak the same mind. The counsel's the same. Doesn't matter how many of us you go to, you're going to hear the same word.
Amen.
Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. That's not self-esteem. That's every one of you is better than me.
Amen.
Because... if I'm proud and think you are lower than me, then I will never minister the grace of God to you.
Amen. You're not worthy.
I will set you up to always prove to me how much better I am than you. And that's not our job as ministers. Our job as ministers is to show you how good the Lord's been to me and how screwed up I was, and therefore the hope for you is that you too can... learn His ways. Know His salvation.
Hallelujah. Amen.
That is the hope that Colossians talked about. the mystery that was revealed from that was hidden from the ages, but is now revealed, Christ in you, the hope of glory. It doesn't get any better than that. So now we go to James chapter 4. And when you understand that this is all through scriptures, it's got in Proverbs, pride goeth before the fall. Truer words were never spoken. How did Lucifer get cast down?
Right.
He was perfect. He didn't have the baggage of this flesh, the bondage to this death body of death. He didn't have that. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? Now, this term members is about this baggage we're carrying around here. The scripture doesn't even call this body of death. Most of the time, it just calls it members. It has its lust and its desires, and we spend most of our lives learning how to please and minister to it. We have to unlearn that and learn how to please and minister the Lord Jesus Christ. As Colossians says, set your affection on things that are above,
right,
not down here on the earth. And it, in doing so, your life is in Christ and you are hidden with Him in God.
Right.
That is the only place you have life. That is the only place you're not a sinner. Because apart from that, there's Jesus and there's sinners. That's all there is.
That's the only way you can love God, love one another.
That's it. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war and ye have not. Because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it on your own lust.
Give me.
Lord, I want your wisdom. Well, I don't really want it to give it to anybody. I just want it so they'll think I'm special. You're going to get any of his wisdom that way?
No.
And I'm special, but not in a good way.
We ride the same bus?
Yeah, we. Yes, we do. And it was not a long yellow bus. You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And I was going to go into Romans chapter 5. That says, ye were enemies. Before you knew Christ, ye were enemies of God.
Right.
If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are an enemy of God. Scripture doesn't get any clearer than this.
Amen.
However, if you're operating in pride and esteeming others as less than you, measuring your spirituality against theirs, or, you know, I'm sure in better shape than that guy in the ditch. You're not. You're weighing and measuring something that has absolutely no value. You're trying to puff yourself up. That is pride. Verse 4, you adulterers, you adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Our spirit, the spirit we're born with, lust to envy. That is our default position. Apart from Christ, we are toast. But he giveth more grace. Why? Because we need more grace. God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You want God resisting you? Stay there weighing and measuring yourself against somebody else about how much better off you are than them. What does it say? God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I don't know about you, but I need grace.
Amen.
Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will
flee
from you. Now, there's a lot in learning how to submit yourself, therefore, to God. And learning how to resist the devil. The instruction manual's right here. And that's why he's put people around you and over you who can help guide you through that. Because that's his way. And the rock of offense that is Jesus Christ, is that is God's way. That is God's salvation. And we got all these people out here walking around trying to establish their own way of salvation.
Yep.
I got this list and then that list. And this list at the end is going to be a bigger list than that list, and God's going to like that. That's not this. It is God's salvation. It's God's Savior. It's God's ways. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one come to the Father but by me. There is no other way. It's His way. It's His salvation. And that is an offense to our pride and our arrogance. Draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. That's a precious promise. And he comes after the humility. I don't want God to be your enemy. I don't want him to be my enemy. I don't want him to resist you. I don't want him to resist me. But it broke me and got me on my knees, on my face, and just crying out to God. Psalm 51 is a good place to start. Creating me a clean heart, O Lord. It goes on to say, sacrifices and burnt offerings have not desired. If it had been the case, that I would have done. But the sacrifices of God are a broken and contrite heart. All I can ask is that if you don't know Jesus Christ right now, find someone and find out.
Amen.
Have them pray with you. Open your heart. Humble yourself before the Lord. To everybody that does know Him, humble yourself before the Lord.
Amen.
Because otherwise, God's going to resist you. Is God resisting you? I don't know. Get on your hands. Get on your knees. Face and hands. Oh Lord, help me. I'm stupid. I'm broken. I'm ignorant. I'm prideful. Heal my heart, Lord, and help me to get out of this bondage in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm done.